morning, everybody.
Hi,
hope you can hear me okay. We're on another one of this series of God Says. This series goes back right back to October. And I'm amazed at the amount of truths and words that we've spoken, sung this morning that are actually going to be spoken to you again in what God's given for me to bring to you. In Colossians 1, 13 to 14, God says, we have been redeemed, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Okay, redeemed. Interesting word, something we say probably quite freely and sing quite freely. But do we really know what that means? Could you just close your eyes for a moment, please? That's not for you to go to sleep, by the way. I want to try and take you back, this is using your imagination, right back to biblical, Roman times. We're going to talk about slaves and a slave auction. If you can visualize a market square, it's busy. The noise and bustle of market stalls and traders and shoppers, workers repairing buildings, messengers traveling, taking scrolls of parchment. They didn't have text and email in those days. Travellers going through the town and a crowd gathering because they know that soon there's going to be a slave auction. Many of these slaves were prisoners of war, warriors, sometimes even quite prestigious. There could be a tribal leader or even their own king that was captured, sometimes with their family and brought back to be ransomed. Sometimes they were villagers and farmers that were being kidnapped from conquered lands. Sometimes, which is more common, it may be the head of a family that's in financial trouble, selling an offspring to pay off a debt. Sometimes, if it was really that bad, where the head of the family may have deceased or lost his job, they had mortgages in those days. If the mortgage defaulted, the whole family could be taken to the slave auction. In Rome, at the peak of Roman Empire, some 40% of the population were slaves, and throughout the empire on average it was 25 to 33%, 1 in 4 at least of the population slaves. You can open your eyes now if you can visualize that picture, but hang on to it please. The auctions would have been advertised. They'll often be on regular days of the week or month. People would be paraded in front of the crowd, a bit like a horse market or a livestock auction. Potential buyers were allowed to examine the goods, checking out muscles, muscle tone, strength, teeth, fitness for a particular job, testing possible skills or knowledge, usually paraded without clothes, men and women and children together. Children, if were fit and well, usually fetched the best price. Often got a long service, got the most use. Children were valuable. Some were captives of Greece and were well educated. They could become accountants, physicians even, tax collectors. They'd sometimes become a teacher in a household and teach children about language and reading, writing. Women often became hairdressers, dressmakers, cooks, cleaners, servants, if they were lucky. The skilled could work with wood or metal, leather or potters, were often put to good use. They were not paid. The warriors often became gladiators. Sometimes they were paid, sometimes by a prize for winning, prize money. Spartacus, well-known slave, wasn't he? He actually caused a slave rebellion, didn't he? But don't forget, every one of those slaves, the male ones, were crucified, well over 1,000 on the road to Rome. If they were not warriors but were fit, then often they became labourers, manual labourers, roads and building, farms and working in the mines. A wide catchment of a community from all over the Roman Empire. The slaves themselves had few rights. They were the property of the owner and they were often badly treated, sometimes beaten, overworked, underfed, living in poor conditions, in mines and other occupations, sometimes dangerous conditions. If a slave ran away and they were caught, they were usually executed. If a slave killed their master, then all the slaves in the household would be put to the sword. Not a pleasant existence, really, was it? Although there's slavery to this day around the world. All looked or hoped to buy their freedom. Imagine the dread of that auction. Imagine being paraded, bonded in chains, having to remove all clothing, people heckling while you waited for your sale. The potential buyers could come and examine you, pinching you, pummeling you, poking your body, examining your hair, your teeth, your mouth, your tongue. They were allowed to do almost anything. The slave on auction would know that most buyers would do their utmost to exploit them, to use them, and worse, in some cases, abuse them. Remember what I said? The majority of people up for sale were actually there to pay a debt. They may have been an established citizen, but if they fell on hard times to pay a debt, they could suddenly find themselves in their own community, among family, friends, and neighbours, up for auction. Imagine that embarrassment alone. They were sold to the highest bidder, to anyone who could actually afford to pay. They were often unscrupulous, not necessarily pleasant buyers. Imagine, men, in that scene that you are one of those up for sale. Now imagine how you would feel when someone that you don't know outbids the rest of the bidders, takes you clothed away from the auction, and then quietly says, "That's it. You're free to go." You might ask, "What do I owe you? How can I repay you?" And the reply came, "You don't owe anything. The price has been paid." That is redemption. Jesus has done that for each and every one of us. Looking at the definition of redemption, look a bit closer then. Whoops, it's gone the wrong way. Try again, sorry. So we've been redeemed. Redeem. Recover by expenditure of effort or specific payment. Payment in kind, in goods or services, possibly. To make a single payment to discharge a debt. Purchase the freedom of a person or slave. These are dictionary definitions. Save a person's life by ransom. To save, rescue, or reclaim. To fulfill or complete a transaction. Save from blame. That is redeem. There's more in these verses. We have been redeemed and forgiven of all our sins. Okay, forgiven. Cease to feel angry with someone. To cease to feel resentful towards someone. To pardon someone or to let someone off. To remit someone. And finally, to release from the consequences of an offence. Forgiven. In Colossians 1:13-14, God says that we've been rescued from darkness. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Redemption again. We were prisoners, but now we're set free. Remember that description of the auction? We've been set free. Our bonds have been broken. The bonds that Satan had over us no longer exist. How was this price paid? It has been paid. In Roman times, a slave was redeemed, usually with gold or silver. God redeemed us from the slavery of sin with the life of his Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. It was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed, but with the precious blood of Christ. There's more, a lot more. Our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own. Because Christ died and rescued us from sin, we're not only free from the sentence of death for our sins, but we're also purified from sin's influence on us as we grow in Christ. Again, redemption paid. What was the cost? In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. We heard this earlier from Mick. I think God's saying something to us here, because I prepared this some time ago while God was talking to me, and I've wrestled with this over the week. The cost was the life of Jesus on the cross. His life alive on the cross, resulting in his death. Redemption was the price paid to gain freedom for a slave. The price of our freedom from sin, our ransom, was the life of Jesus. He paid with his life. Through his death, Jesus paid the price to release us from our slavery to sin. Forgiveness, again, there's a cost. In him we have redemption through his blood. The cost of the forgiveness was the blood shed of Jesus. In the Old Testament, forgiveness was granted on the basis of the shedding of animals' blood. We have been forgiven by the shedding of Jesus' blood. He died as the perfect and final sacrifice for us. What does God say about forgiveness then? Okay, forgiveness of sins. I am he who blots out your transgressions and remembers your sins no more. Isaiah 43. There's more in Jeremiah. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. When God forgives our sins, he totally forgets them. We don't have to fear that he will remind us of them later and use them in retribution at some point in the future. As God forgives our sins, however, we need to consider how we forgive others. Jesus tells of the unforgiving debtor, the unmerciful servant, in Matthew 18. I'm sure we're all familiar with this. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. In Old Testament times, rabbis taught people to forgive all those who offended them, but only three times. Now, in this example, Peter was actually trying to be generous, wasn't he? He'd up to three to seven. Quite a jump, really. More than 100%. But Jesus answered, his answer meaning that we shouldn't actually keep track of how many times we forgive. Because God has forgiven all our sins, these verses teach us that we should not withhold at any time our forgiveness of others. Not always easy to do, because of the hurt and the pain that some of the sins can cause. Nevertheless, we should not withhold our forgiveness of all others. From the first sermon of this series of God Says, way back in October, Richard Pearsall brought us one of many truths that we are God's children in John 1. And I quote some of this. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or even a husband's will, but born of God. Later in this series of God Says, Richard Miller brought us another truth, in that we are friends of Jesus. Quite amazing to be a friend of Jesus. In the Great Commission in Matthew 28, Jesus instructed his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. In John 15, Jesus calls his disciples friends, revealing the amazing truth that those who are his disciples are accepted by him. And this is not just for a select few, but for all disciples, his church. In Proverbs 18, again, we've heard this all before. There is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. So, taking this on, bringing a couple of previous God Says, we are children of God. We are a friend of Jesus. We have been redeemed and all our sins are forgiven. There's more. We are also his church and the bride of Christ. In Revelation 21:9, we are told that the church is also the bride of Christ, the wife of the Lamb. From God's perspective, all of his people are as special as a dearly loved bride. Now, I don't know about the husbands around here, but before I became a Christian, I would have said that Jenny, my other half, was my best friend. Now I'm a Christian, I'd say that on earth, in human form, I'd still say that she is my best friend. Jesus regards us as such to marry us as his bride. What an awesome truth that is. As a result of God's desire for the good and the love of his children, he came to be one of us and to woo his bride. He put on human form and suffered human pain for us. This time you close your eyes once more. You just visualize something. But this isn't actually imagining this time. This is remembering. There was a major public event last year. The images of the ceremony, the music, the worship, the pageantry was seen by millions around the world. The marriage of Prince William and Kate. Now, I would think that most of you saw some of those images. Just think of those for a moment. Kate married Prince William, ultimately in line to the throne of England. But we are the bride of the Prince of Peace, the bride of the King of Kings. Hang on to those truths. Take them beyond your mind and take them right into your heart.